In the beginning, all things were obedient to God. In the beginning, all things were obedient to God. In the beginning, all things were obedient to God and existed in perfect harmony with His government. In the beginning, all things were obedient to God and existed in perfect harmony with His governmental design. Through the prophetic promises for the restoration of all things, we can set our faces like flint to see that this design established once again. This will be true both in the church and within us as individuals, that we may know the purity, In this state of innocence, Adam was allowed to walk with God without veils or separations. There flourished in the garden perfect fellowship as Adam was allowed to gaze directly into the face of God without reservation or shame. He was not overwhelmed by the purity of God. I repeat, he was not overwhelmed by the purity of God. This gives us a portrayal of the original design for man and the one which we must return to. There existed with Adam the combination of both heavenly and earthly material. Within him dwelt the divine nature and the character of God, veiled behind a body made of the dust of the earth. It was God's original intent through Adam for man to live on two levels, the natural arena and the spiritual dimension with God. In the latter, we have a spiritual form that communes with God, now afforded through the process of redemption in Christ. It is the spiritual form of man that the Holy Spirit is emphasizing to bring us to the place of oneness with Him, restoring what once was lost. All of creation is groaning for this reality. It is the determination of the Holy Spirit to compel a company of people who will allow their spirit, soul, and body to be fully sanctified and restored to the position and fellowship and communion once enjoyed in the garden. I want to stress that the original plan of God was as in the times of Noah. And everybody who looks at the scriptures today, look at the times of Noah as a horrible time. It was horrible for those who accepted the darkness and lived in the darkness. But there were some that were living in the light and did not let it go. It says that in the millennium, people who die at 800 and 900 years didn't even have to choose death then. That those who die at 100 would be mere babies. And everybody wants to die and go to heaven, but I was pressed this morning. I'm heading into Ludlow, and I heard, I want you to take the turnpike. Well, periodically, he'll tell me to do that, and I will. And I heard it again, because I saw a snapshot of the entrance to the highway in my head. So I did. To my surprise, I didn't do more than a mile and a half, and now the traffic has literally stopped. And all of a sudden, I see some yellow and blue lights flashing, and I heard begin to pray. So I began to pray because I have no clue what's up there. But I know something was up because obviously traffic was horrible. Continue to pray and pray and pray. And then I'm thinking my brain gets in the way. I don't know about you guys. How many of you get you have problems with the brain department? Okay, because that's where we're going to go today. I want you to turn on the light, please. You know, I get on the highway and of course, immediately the brain starts to say, well, you made a mistake. You shouldn't have got on the highway. Well, it wasn't a mistake. There was a need because by the time I got to where the accident was, we had to pull into the green dirt and garbage just to get by what was a car and a truck that, I don't know how it got tangled, but it did. The car looked like a snowball that had been rolled in the mud. All discombobulated into a ball. If anybody survived it, only God's grace would be able to do that. The reason I'm trying to awaken you to obedience is it was God's plan to have an intercessor there at the beginning. I didn't like the idea of being late because my brain was in the way. I confess that. But the closer I got to the maximum damage that had been done to whomever, my intercession was needed for that moment. It wasn't all about being late. It was about being obedient. If you notice at the beginning here of what I'm trying to get you to see, is that there was a plan of God, not for Adam and Eve to fail, but if they did fail, he had an ace in a hole. His name is Jesus. I'm not going to go any deeper here, except for the fact that when I was pressed of God, I want her to be aware that she is welcome. Okay? So bottom line, I'm trying to, this morning, give you a little bit of insight about your authority. Yes, she's definitely singing. And you did too, 90-something years ago, right?
94.
There you go.
I'm on my way to 94.
Amen. But the bottom line is we all started helpless, didn't we?
Yeah.
And when we started, mama and dad did what they had to do. But I'm also trying to tell you that the Heavenly Father also provided. And sometimes we just fall short. We're so involved in our emotions and our circumstances that we fall short. Now, what I'm about to share is the war that started around, I would say, 9:30 last night. There was a dramatic miracle that happened a couple of days ago on the phone with an individual, where an individual was calling for help, and the Lord set that person free. Now, how many know that when you get set free, there's usually a little bit of retaliation that the enemy tries to convince you that you made a mistake? Okay? He tries to accuse. So this morning when I first got up, I heard, write down what you experienced last night. So those of you who are taking notes, you need to take notes on James chapter 4, which we will probably go to afterwards. And also Isaiah 54, verse 17. Because that was the war plan for me to use against the war that was going on against me. Most of you have seen the news. I don't need to go there. I try to stay away from it because it is so ugly. It gets you all into a bad space mentally. Okay? So doing what you know is, yes, listen to the news for a few, but then get into the good news. Because if you don't get into the good news, you're going to be out of balance. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Say, I'm ready, Lord.
I'm ready, Lord.
To go for a ride.
With the spirit of darkness.
Who had tried to take a chunk out of the pastor's peaceful space.
Amen?
Amen. All right. You ready? There was a war going on last night. And it started to tempt me on areas of lust and trying to get me to do things or go into a place where it would draw me into darkness. But grace was given. And I was able to resist because of his grace. Then it tried with symptoms and pain. I got up from the couch and I had pains in my knees. I had pains in my ankles and in my head. And then it hit on and on. We said, no. I then heard you have COVID-19. These are the symptoms from COVID-19. Immediately, the response in my head was, I don't have a temperature. Well, guess what? The enemy knows how to provide a temperature. Amen? I said, no way. Then I was going to take 2 Tylenols because my head was pounding. And I heard no. I had the 2 pills in my hand and I heard no. So I put them back in the container, went back in the family room. And as I put them in my hand, I heard no, don't. So I put them back and then I felt a fever. It didn't take more than 10 minutes. My body got hot. Then I touched my earlobes because that's usually the place where I know I have a temperature. Sure enough, they got red hot. Then cool. And on we go. I went to bed. Then I had a fever. I mean, I was burning up. I would say 101, roughly. And no, you need to go to the ER. It's bad. I said, Lord, what do you want? And he said, get up and take Holy Communion. So I did. I put on, after I prayed over the cup, I put some of the blood over my forehead and then underneath both ears down into my neck area. For me, that's called the doorway. Just like when you have Exodus, they were told to put the blood on the doorpost. And so I covered myself with the blood. Then I took communion and I ended up praying and interceding for several people, including, as I prayed for many, I went back to bed. It was hot. The air conditioner's on and I'm out of the blankets. I can't sleep. So, Holy Spirit, I keep repeating Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I refute every tongue. I refute. I need to put the enemy out. Then I get a snap vision. The snap vision is of the individual who got healed this week and set free. And the Lord immediately showed me that there was jealousy caused by someone that this person knows. And I saw the face. And I was angry because I knew they were doing witchcraft against me. So I heard, do something about it. So I interceded for that person who's angry with me and jealous. I ask, don't hold any sin against them. And then I refute every tongue that is speaking against me. You say, are you that important? No, I'm not important at all. But the Spirit of God in me. And so is the Spirit of God in you, in each and every one of you. And if you don't open your mouth, you stay in a place of submission and the enemy will take advantage and you'll end up at the ER. So I said, praise the Lord, that mouth that's going against me, I set them free. Whatever they do, you deal with it, Lord. And then I took something to drink and went and slept. I woke up, no pain, no fever, no COVID. Jesus be glorified. Why did I write it down? Why am I sharing it? It's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to resist. It's time for you to shut the enemy down. It's time for you to mature. What is he looking for? Let's go to Isaiah 54. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, verse 14. In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Really? Look around you and tell me how many people are living under an anointing of fear right now. They're so tied up in knots they can't function. And it's not your fault. But you need to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you. And awaken to the truth. Then it says, you will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. In other words, don't blame God. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. Why? Why is the enemy on the job? To make you into a warrior and into an adult. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. In other words, I've given you a recipe. It's about time you use it. Now, James chapter 4. What causes fights? Verse 1. What causes fights and quarrel among you? Don't they come from your desire that battle within you? Notice the battle is not outside, it's inside of each and every one of us. He attacked my thoughts, he attacked my body, he attacked areas in my body to try to get me to believe and receive what he was selling. Which was he selling? He was selling sickness, disease, and a plan to kill. That's what he sells. That should give you a clue. All right? You want something but don't get it. You kill, you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. My cry was to cry out, Lord, I need help right now. I am not going to say I can't do this because you can instruct me. And the Holy Spirit did instruct me. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, usually selfishness, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now that's serious. Or do you think scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? So we were created to envy. It's part of the makeup. Why is it there? So that you'll learn how to overcome it. But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil. That's what I was doing. I did it for several hours because it wouldn't quit. It would just change the strategy. It didn't work here. Let's try it over there. It didn't work there. Let's try it over here. I mean, you know what? He's tenacious. What do you need to do? Right on. Keep pushing back. Don't stop.
On that armor of God.
Amen.
That shield of faith.
Submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee. That includes the spirit of fear and torment. That includes sickness and disease. That includes aches and pains. That includes fevers and anything else he can try to throw on you. My sister comes in this morning and she says, I just learned something. I said, what did you learn? She says, I just realized that allergies is a spirit. Oh, really? Allergies. clergies are a spirit. Yeah. Wow. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Does that mean to wash your hands and 24-hour period constantly? That's what happened with the Israelites. All of the Jewish nation were extremely cleansing themselves constantly. They even accused Jesus of not teaching his disciples to wash their hands before he fed 5,000. You tell me how he fed 5,000. And they were all in a huge field, which I've stood in. How are you going to wash your hands in the middle of a field and there's 5,000 men, 5,000 probably women and children, etc.? Where are you going to get the water? He fed them all. And the only thing that the Jews could see and the hierarchy could see is they didn't wash their hands. Amen. Have you heard lately you're supposed to wash your hands? I'm not saying don't wash your hands. Don't go there. I'm trying to tell you which stub of it is stupid. Okay? Relax. Enjoy the trip. Resist the devil. Don't resist your government. Listen and read between the lines. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Why is he calling them double-minded? Because they flow with the whole journey of the news. And then the Holy Ghost gives them a truth. And they put the truth in their back pocket. And they sit on it. The spirit of truth does not deserve for you and me to sit on it. The spirit of truth would be coming out of your mouth declaring freedom. Patrick Henry had an awesome saying, give me liberty or? He didn't want to live under a dictatorial government. And he said, I'd rather die than go backwards. That same Holy Ghost anointing needs to come on every Christian. Not to be defiant, but not to be letting anybody rule over you and steal your freedom and your liberty. You can't be double-minded. You cannot say, oh, God says to do, but I'll do this because everyone else wants to have me comfortable. Believe and receive what God tells you to do to the best of your ability. And I'm not saying don't be silly and be stupid and put yourself in harm's way. That's not the case. Okay? Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail, and change your laughter to mourning. You know why? Because our country is falling apart. Because of lies. Because of extremism. And your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I listened to a little bit of what happened in Atlanta. And I said to my wife, please shut it down. Please shut it down. There's extremism here. And it's ugly. It's ugly. I owned a business for 20 years. And if somebody parked themselves in front of my front door and fell asleep in their car, I would call 911. And I'd say, please have that car removed. And it would work the way it was designed to be. I'm not saying that you can't get upset about extremism and people not doing their job, but I can tell you this. There's a lot of darkness hitting our country in multiples of cities. And we need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Am I supposed to break bread in the quiet corner of my house and take Holy Communion and ask for grace for the officers that are being abused? ask for the Holy Spirit to identify the ones that are not of God, the ones that are not doing their job correctly, and for the Holy Spirit to start healing our country. That's what I'm looking for. And that's what he's looking for me to do. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. If you and I pray for the people in authority in our cities, God will lift them up. The righteous ones will be left with grace and favor every step of the way, and not the extremism of destruction that is the plan of darkness. There has been a lot of things that were done wrong. I'm not saying that there wasn't. I am saying, however, get the good news and bring some balance. Bring some balance in how you respond. Bring some balance to those that are really being hurt by prejudice. I don't like prejudice any more than you do. But I can tell you this, it can be from white or black. It can be from different nationalities. And I remember, believe me, I remember when I was 8 years old and we moved to the United States, and the teacher could not speak French and I couldn't speak English. So her solution was put me in the closet. There was a little girl sat two seats away from me that spoke both languages, and she would not allow that little girl to translate what I needed to understand. She put me in the closet instead. I wasn't black. I wasn't Puerto Rican. I wasn't Spanish. I was French. And I was in the middle of Vermont. Why was I put in the closet? What was I doing wrong? Nothing. So prejudice can be amongst whites, and it can be amongst Spanish. It can be among whatever nationality you are, because the oddball gets the what? What do they get? The oddball gets what? Punished. What did I do wrong? I did very well by the time February came. You know what I did? Came home and told my mother and my father at supper time that I wanted my father to go to the store and buy me a great big bottle of Valentine beer. My mother says, come on, you can't go to school with a bottle of Valentine beer. I said, well, the teacher said, don't come to school without a Valentine. I did not know the word Valentine. So automatically, I knew what, you know, there were people, some of their friends would drink Valentine beer. So the solution was, go to school tomorrow with a big Valentine. And I was very upset because my mother says, we're going to go to the store. We'll buy some Valentines. And it took me a while to recover that one. But you see, I started in September. Here it was February, and I still didn't understand. There was closet seasons even then. What am I saying to you? Persecution comes on multiples of levels. Destruction is the plan of darkness. Reconstruction and healing and setting you and me free is the plan of the Most High. And the Holy Spirit is inside of each and every one of us. So would you lift your right hand and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
keep healing me.
Healing.
Keep giving me wisdom to resist.
Keep giving me wisdom to resist.
When bad thoughts hit me. When aches and pain hit me. I've got to resist. I've got to stand against it. It's not somebody else's job. It's my job for me to wake up and say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And I cast out the pain. I cast out the torment. Because I will not bow to fear. Fear comes to bring destruction. And the fear of the future is included. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You did not give me a spirit of fear. You gave me power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. I repeat it again. You did not give me a spirit of fear. You gave me power, love, and a sound mind. And I will resist the devil because he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer. And he wants me dead. I will not bow. I will live to satisfy the Holy Spirit until the fullness of Christ, the Anointed One, is completed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. That's what he said to share with you guys today. But I also have a miracle. I got to make sure I tell you about my miracle, because sometimes we need a miracle. Did you ever notice that? Okay. When I was at Grace Church, I had a need of a recliner for my office upstairs. That recliner came in, I don't know, 95, like, I'm guessing 95. Well, obviously, it's 25 years old, and it was pretty damaged, let's say it that way. It's been patched back up together at multiples of levels. So I had to go to Costco this week to pick up something, and even before I went in, I thought, well, maybe, you know, it's Father's Day. Maybe I could, you know, find a treat. So I could look for a new recliner. But, you know, I looked at the furniture area and there was no nudge to look. So I'm heading towards the bread area. And so those of you who know Costco's, it's quite a ways down. And what do I see? Right to the right. Two beautiful patterns of recliners. One of them is all nice chocolate brown leather. It's got the buttons that go for lifting up the feet, etc., and pushing the back down. And it's a Barca lounger, and they've got $100 off. So I thought, oh my God, that is pretty cool. So I kind of measured the box, and I said, no way it'll fit in my wagon. So I gave it back to the Lord, but I know, because I told the girl, I said, you know, how many of these do you have? She says, this is it. Well, there wasn't 50 of them. And long story short, I put it back on the shelf and I said, okay, Lord, if it's supposed to be, something will happen. And someone that has a vehicle will come across. So sure enough, Friday noontime, my grandson comes over with the three kids, which we babysat. And I said, do you have any specific plans? He says, no, I'm just going to go to bed. He had to work all night. I said, well, I wonder if maybe we could take a ride to Costco's later on when you get up or whenever it's convenient. Oh, it's convenient right now. So off we went, because he has a van, and off we went. It took an hour and 15 minutes. There were two recliners left of the one that I wanted. Put it in the car or the van, brought it home. And we had the most awesome time with those three kids, because you know why I got a new recliner? Because we needed a box.
Yeah.
Here we are in the afternoon. It took about 2.5 hours. I have like 5 or 6 pictures of the two little ones, 6 and 7. They're going to be in July. And we made a house with windows and door and a roof. And they had more fun with a cardboard box in the backyard. Irene said, you know what? That was the cheapest house you could buy. And they're the happiest. In fact, when they got home that night, they called back. Pepe, are you bringing my house on the porch? church. I said, honey, the box is too, but I'm going to take care of it. He was so concerned about his house. You know, so what am I saying to you? The timing was right. The Lord brought the finances so I could afford it. When my wife saw it, she was jealous, which is fine. And I put the old one on the back porch, which is awesome. Now I have an old recliner out there that I don't mind leaving out there. And it's very convenient so I can study the word in the sunshine and enjoy the moment as God has provided. So God is definitely blessing me. And I want you to know, he wants to bless each and every one of you. So I got a blessing. 2 days later, I got an attack. What else is new? I'm learning to become a mature overcomer. I'm not letting go until I get the victory. And that's my prayer for each and every one of you.